Good morning, beloved brethren. You ever notice, by the way, that that refers to brothers and sisters in the scriptures? Our family's been working on memorizing the book of James, and James talks to the whole congregation and says, beloved brethren. We are in stanza verses 137 to 144 in Psalm 119. Trust you've got your sword wielded and the scriptures in your hand. In front of you, as we look at the Tsade stanza, verses 137 to 144, and I've entitled this The Right Word in a Wrong World. Adversity never seems to be far away from this psalmist here, does it? It's the constant, almost constant backdrop, the setting, the stage of his life, much like ours. We're going to look this morning at three adverse situations in which to extol the righteousness of God and his word. What is it that shows us God's uprightness and the rightness and righteousness of his word? Three adverse situations. First of all, consumed, verse 137 to 139, and then scorned, verse 140 to 141, and then besieged, 142 to 144. Follow with me. Consumed. Verse 137 begins, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Notice the theme of righteousness in almost every verse. Keep reading. Verse 138, you have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. God's word is utterly trustworthy, always right in everything it addresses, in all that it says, and all that affirms, all that it negates, all that it promises. Listen to Matthew Henry. The righteousness of God, he rules the world by his providence according to the principles of justice and never did nor ever can do any wrong to any of his creatures. As God acts like himself, so his law requires that we act like ourselves and like God, that we be just to ourselves and to all we deal with, true to all the engagements we lay ourselves under, both to God and to man. Verse 139, my zeal has consumed me. It's put an end to me, literally, because my adversaries have forgotten your words. David comes to mind in Psalm 69, which is then quoted about Jesus, our Lord himself, with a whip in his hand in the temple, declaring, my house should be called a house of prayer. It's become a den of robbers. Oh, that we would have more of this holy zeal, this godly jealousy, this righteous anger that's not man-centered or self-centered, but God-centered and kingdom-focused. Consumed. Next section, next adverse situation in which we are to extol the righteousness of God and his word, is scorned, verse 140 and 141. Look there. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I love your word, Lord, not just for all the benefits it brings to me, but simply for what it is. How perfectly pure, refined as in a furnace seven times, Psalm 12. Proverbs 30 talks about perfectly tested, inerrant, infallible, inspired, God-breathed, pure. And perfect. That's why I love your word, Lord. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. I don't need a bigger self-esteem. I need a bigger Bible esteem, a bigger God esteem. We're not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise. God has chosen the foolish, weak, nobodies of the world to shame the strong so that none would boast except in the Lord. I love that Hudson Taylor quote when he said once, all of God's giants have been weak men, weak people who did great things for God because they counted on God being with them. Verse 142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness and your law is truth. Listen to Matthew Henry's insight on this. God's word is a law, and that law is truth. We are reasonable creatures, and as such, we must be ruled by truth. If the principles be true, the practices must be agreeable to them, else we do not act rationally. There's a lot of irrational behavior going on nowadays. Listen to this. We are creatures and therefore subjects and must be ruled by our Creator. And whatever He commands, we are bound to obey as a law. Here is truth brought to the understanding. There it should sit as chief. God's word should rule and reign and direct the motions of the whole man. But lest the authority of that should become weak through the flesh, here is a law, God's law, to bind the will and bring it into subjection. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have come upon me. This is a besieged man, right? As we've seen, consumed. And then the second section, scorned. And then now, verse 142 to 144, besieged. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Again, he begs for illumination. He cries for God to open up his word to our blind eyes. By God alone can God be known. God's word be understood. Listen again to Matthew Henry. He says, these are the delights, the variety of delights in the word of God, which the saints have often the sweetest enjoyment of when they are in trouble and anguish. Notice he doesn't ask or pray here for a further revelation. It's a further understanding. Lord, I don't need you to tell me more. I need you to give me more understanding of what I already have in Christ, in your word. I love the way this writer puts it. When the Bible says that God is righteous, it means he's completely just and fair. He never exploits or abuses. God's word perfectly reflects this same righteousness. This is hard for modern people who live in the most authority-averse culture in world history. Much in God's word seems on the surface unfair. However, this is the testimony of millions of people and of the word itself. If you trust God's word, testing it thoroughly in the crucible of your life over the years, like he says here, it's pure, it's refined, verse 140, then you'll find God's word not only true, but also delightful. You will come to love it, as we've seen in this stanza. Lord, there were once many things in your word that seemed too harsh and severe to me, but as time has gone on, they have become fewer. Your word has proven true. Open doors, Lord, for me to tell others, even in our most suspicious of all cultures, that the word of the Lord can be trusted. Or as Isaac Watts puts it, when pain and anguish seize me, Lord, all my support is from thy word. My soul dissolves for heaviness. Uphold me with thy strengthening grace. The proud have framed their scoffs and lies. They watch my feet with envious eyes and tempt my soul to snares and sin. Yet thy commands I ne'er decline. They hate me, Lord, without a cause. They hate to see me love thy laws. But I will trust and fear thy name till pride and malice die with shame. Amen.